Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fear City, New York's Fiscal Crisis and the Rise of Austerity Politics by Kim Phillips Fine, is a work of history and political economy that examines New York City's near bankruptcy in 1975 and the broader transformation that followed, rather than treating the fiscal collapse as a simple story of municipal mismanagement. The book argues that austerity emerged through political choices made by city, state, federal, and financial leaders. Phillips Fine traces how repeated borrowing, declining revenues, and mounting debt interacted with ideological attacks on urban liberalism and public spending. The book also places the crisis in a wider context, showing how New York became an early model for austerity politics that later shaped other cities and national debates about the public sector. Written for both general readers and scholars, it combines archival research with a clear explanation of how financial pressure can reshape democracy, labor power, and public expectations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the fiscal crisis turned borrowing into a political trap. Phillips Fine shows that the crisis did not begin with a sudden collapse in 1975, but with years of short-term borrowing used to cover ordinary operating costs. City leaders treated debt as a temporary fix for structural problems, hoping that future tax growth or federal support would close the gap. That strategy postponed hard decisions and made the budget increasingly fragile. By the time lenders lost confidence, New York had accumulated enough obligations to make refinancing difficult and politically explosive. The book makes clear that this was not only a financial failure, but also a governing strategy built on delay. Borrowing allowed officials to avoid confronting conflicts over taxes, wages, and public services. In that sense, the crisis became the result of accumulated political evasion as much as accumulated debt, which is why the book reads the fiscal emergency as a warning about how cities can postpone but not escape unresolved structural problems. Secondly, austerity as a political choice rather than an economic inevitability. One of the book's central claims is that austerity was not the only possible response to the fiscal emergency. Phillips Fine argues that officials and lenders presented cuts as unavoidable, but that framing masked the fact that they were making choices about whose interests would be protected. Budget reductions, wage restraints, layoffs, and service cuts were not neutral technical adjustments. They redistributed power away from public workers and ordinary residents. The book emphasizes that the language of necessity created what she calls the politics of inevitability, which narrowed public debate and made alternatives seem unrealistic even when they existed. This argument matters because it challenges the common assumption that market discipline simply forces governments into one path. Instead, the book shows how austerity becomes politically durable when decision-makers define it as common sense. That analysis connects the New York case to later crises in which debt is used to justify shrinking public responsibility while shielding financial authority from scrutiny. Thirdly, banks, business elites, and the rise of invisible governance. The book devotes close attention to the role of banks, corporate leaders, and other financial interests in shaping the city's response to crisis. Phillips Fine does not present these actors as a hidden conspiracy, but as powerful institutions that increasingly set the boundaries of acceptable policy. Their decisions about lending, refinancing, and confidence had direct effects on municipal governance, giving them influence over public outcomes without formal electoral accountability. This is where the book develops the idea of the invisible hand in a political rather than purely economic sense. Financial actors became unacknowledged legislators. The result was a shift in who could define urban priorities. Bondholders, bankers, and investors gained leverage over public officials who needed market access to keep the city functioning. The book therefore links fiscal crisis to a larger reordering of governance, in which financial credibility became more important than social commitments. That makes Fear City valuable not just as urban history, but as a study of how power can move from democratic institutions to private financial networks. Fourthly, public sector retrenchment and the remaking of everyday city life. Phillips Fine does not treat the crisis as an abstract budget story. She shows how austerity altered the everyday functioning of the city by shrinking services, weakening municipal employment, and lowering expectations of what government should provide. Cuts in schools, sanitation, transportation, and social services had immediate consequences for residents, especially working people who depended most on the public sector. The book also shows that retrenchment was not simply a matter of fewer programs. It changed the civic imagination by making it easier to portray public institutions as inefficient or unsustainable. Once that idea took hold, fiscal discipline and private initiative appeared more legitimate than social provision. Fear City is especially strong in tracing how this shift affected the city's political culture long after the crisis itself had passed. New York remained a city with major public goods, but they were increasingly maintained through subsidies, public-private arrangements. and a narrower definition of what government should do. The book therefore connects fiscal policy to the remaking of urban citizenship. Lastly, the crisis as a blueprint for later neoliberal politics. Although the book is centered on New York, its significance lies in the argument that the city's fiscal crisis helped establish a wider political template. Phillips Fain shows how the response to New York became an early example of the late 20th century's turn toward neoliberal governance, austerity budgeting, and market-centered solutions. The city's experience helped normalize the idea that public institutions should be constrained by financial discipline and that social liberalism had become unaffordable. In that sense, the New York crisis was not an isolated local event, but a prototype for later attacks on the public sector in the United States and beyond. The book also makes room for resistance, showing that unions and ordinary residents did not simply accept retrenchment. That balance matters because it prevents the story from becoming deterministic. Fear City stands out by linking local administrative failure, financial pressure, and national ideological change without reducing the period to a single cause. It explains how one city's emergency became a model for a broader political order. In conclusion, Fear City should be read by anyone interested in urban history, public finance, American political development, labor conflict, or the origins of modern austerity. It is especially useful for students and general readers who want a historically grounded explanation of why fiscal crises are never only about numbers. Phillips Fain shows how debt, budgeting, and lender confidence intersect with ideology, class power, and democratic choice. That makes the book valuable as both a case study of New York and a wider analysis of how cities are governed under pressure. Compared with more narrowly economic accounts, it stands out for treating the fiscal crisis as a turning point in political culture rather than a technical emergency. Compared with simpler narratives of decline, it gives agency to elected officials, financiers, labor organizations, and ordinary residents. Its major strength is this combination of archival detail and broad interpretation. The book is specific enough to illuminate New York in the 1970s, but broad enough to explain why the language of necessity still shapes public policy today. It offers readers both a historical account and a framework for understanding contemporary debates over public services and austerity. If you would like to support Kim Phillips Fain, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.